Irish memorials list the names of the hundreds of Jerseymen who didn't return from the First World War. Most of them died while fighting in the British Army, but some served with other Commonwealth nations. Ernest Amaret emigrated to Canada 3 years before war broke out. He enlisted in the Canadian Army and was killed at the Battle of Vimy Ridge, one of the most famous battles fought by the Canadians. His brother named a cottage in St. Lawrence after that battle in memory of his fallen brother. Chris Rayner has the story.
Just a few words to tell you that I have enlisted to go to the war and expect to be sailing for England at any moment. It was the chance for one Jerseyman to see family before he went off to fight. And like others of his age, Ernest Amaret had left Jersey some years earlier. Writing to his father, August Marie Amaret, in April 1915, he hoped to visit his home island if he got the chance.
I've been training for 5 months now. I would have joined in the first contingent, but the notice was so short that I could not go on account of business. I will try to go to Jersey, so if you leave your address at the evening post office, I'll know where you live and will see you before going to the front.
Sergeant Ernest Henry Amaret had grown up in St. Lawrence, although he's commemorated on the St. Lawrence Parish Memorial and the St. Peter, St. Matthew Roman Catholic Church Memorial. Unlike others listed there, when he died, he wasn't fighting alongside Jerseymen. In 1911, he left Jersey to find work in Canada, then a dominion of the British Empire. His trade was listed as a blacksmith. Living in Ontario when war broke out, Amaret signed up to join the 21st Infantry Battalion, Eastern Ontario Regiment, part of the 2nd Canadian Expeditionary Force. Local newspaper, the Kingston Daily Standard, reported morale was high among the newly enlisted men of the battalion in December 1914.
At 2:15 p.m., the commanding officer's parade takes place and lasts until nearly 5 o'clock. Nearly every day on this parade, the men are taken for a long route march, which they very much enjoy. There is no place for a drone in this battalion. The men realize that they are mobilized for serious business, and they go about their duties seriously and energetically. In addition to all drills, the men have to take their share regularly of all fatigue duties, guard and sentry mounting.
Training continued until the battalion was sent overseas, embarking at Montreal and arriving in England in May 1915 before going to the front later that year. Although Ernest had written to his father in 1915 about his hope of visiting, it wasn't until over a year later that he made it back to his home island on leave just before Christmas 1916, visiting Brickfield Cottage, Montalabe. But that wasn't his childhood home. He'd grown up in St. Lawrence.
This is a new house, isn't it?
Yeah.
But there were no other buildings here?
No.
There's a house not far from where Ernest Amaret grew up in Six Roads in St. Lawrence that makes up the corner of La Rougecoul and La Longue Rue. The sign is obvious. It's called Vimy Cottage, and it was bought a few years after the end of the war by his brother August and remained in the family until the 1980s. August's granddaughter, Mary Amaret, remembers growing up here in the 1950s.
There was six of us children altogether. Three boys and three girls. We went to St. Lawrence School, and we used to play in the, like, all the lanes which we could do. We had no running water. We had a well which we used to get the water for drinking, and we all had a tin bath which we all used to have a bath. One after another.
Tin bath?
A tin bath, yeah. In front of the... We used to have a rope in, because there was no running. We had no taps or anything like that in the house. So it was a case of bringing the water from the fresh water from the well. And then we had another small tap there, which we used to do in buckets, and then we used to heat it on the other way burn, and that's what we used to heat the water, so we used to wash in a bowl or in the tin pot.
I suppose it's at the heart of parish life, the parish hall. It's next to the church in St. Lawrence, just down the road from the pub, and also the school. Familiar places, I suppose, to Amaret and everybody else who grew up here in this parish, even if they were a mile away in Six Roads. Of course, in front of the parish hall is the memorial to those that died during the First World War. E. Amaret is the first among 38 names of parishioners who gave their lives. But unlike others on this memorial, he's also listed just up the road at the Catholic Memorial at St. Peter and St. Matthew. But he's also listed elsewhere, far away in France, on Vimy Ridge itself, on the Canadian Memorial. Promotion was rapid for good soldiers in those times, and by early 1917, Ernest had been promoted to acting sergeant with full pay, just as the Canadian Corps, fighting as all four divisions for the first time, was preparing for one of its greatest military actions. Training had been thorough in the cold winter months and weeks prior to the battle, every man in the Corps being taught where they were going, what their objective was, and how it would be achieved. By 1917, tactics on the Western Front were improving, and the Canadian and British artillery were successfully employing the art of counter-battery operations, taking out enemy guns by using sound ranging and flash spotting. Aircraft from the Royal Flying Corps were also deployed in the sector, greatly improving the ability to find and destroy enemy guns. The plan to take Vimy Ridge involved a sustained barrage over a fortnight, designed to take out enemy emplacements, destroy trenches and barbed wire, and demoralise the Germans, forced to stay in their deep shelters and bunkers. As 0 hour approached, the battalion war diary records the mood of those about to assault the ridge.
The battalion moved to Saint-Éloi during the afternoon and stayed in Bois d'Allais, resting till about 8:15 p.m. when they proceeded by the new overland route to the forward area to take up their position in the jumping-off trench, which is a new trench dug about 100 yards east of Mill Street. Trenches and approaches to the jumping-off were in very bad condition, though a comparatively safe overland route was in good shape. The battalion was reported to brigade as being in position by 4 a.m. on the morning of the 9th.
About 700 men were poised, waiting for the order to go over the top at zero, which was 5:30 a.m. Following the 18th and 19th battalions, the 21st advanced uphill behind the creeping barrage. The goal of the 21st was known as the Red Objective.
At 0+35, it was reported that the black objective gained and everything going fine.
The 21st took their final objective ahead of schedule, capturing a field gun, machine guns, trench mortars, and over 100 prisoners. It hadn't been an easy fight, and the battalion casualties by this point were over 200 killed, wounded, or missing. But all the preparation and training had paid off, with a considerable victory achieved by the Canadian Corps. Describing the state of the enemy resistance, the war diary of the 21st noted,
"The enemy machine guns and trench mortars were the chief resistances encountered, as their artillery was outclassed at every point. Wire was conspicuous only by its absence, as an obstacle of resistance, our artillery having demolished same. Further proof of the thorough manner in which our artillery had done their work was demonstrated by the state of the Hun trenches, only the outline of some remaining."
But among the casualties was Sergeant Ernest Amaret, shot by a sniper. According to a report in the Evening Post on the 26th of April, he'd been killed during an attack on the German trenches. His company commander reported that the gallant sergeant was loved by his men and respected by his officers, for he was always ready and willing to do his duty and help others to do theirs. It was grieving brother Auguste François who wanted to permanently remember him and named his house in St. Lawrence Vimy Cottage. Happy times were spent there by the Amaret family until it was eventually sold.
Looking back, it was a happier environment. It's like, because there wasn't many houses around, and what they were, it was a close-knit concern. You know, you go to the corner shop, we could go on our own type of thing, and there was no with not many cars around.
Did you ever wonder why it was called Vimy Cottage? Did you hear any stories from your family about sort of the name of the place
I think years ago we didn't, to a certain degree, and it's only one of my nephews decided to look into it, and that's when we built all Vimy Ridge in France. And so it is now, thinking back, it is quite unique to know that there's still part of it that's still standing.
Sergeant Ernest Amaret doesn't have a grave. He was buried and his grave was noted. But when, after the war, the work to create proper cemeteries began, his was among those that couldn't be found following a year of heavy shelling. It's why those such as St. Lawrence Church Warden Alfred Pipon say it's so important proper memorials like the one outside the parish hall are kept.
So, the memorial you're looking at, that was an article I wrote for the parish magazine, obviously, because all the plates you see on the memorial now are all new plates. Because we took the others out, got the constable took the others out when we discovered the full names. Those are the names, but these are on the St. Matthew's Church, because some of them are on our memorial as well. That's the Catholic Church. They've got a lot, 54. We got all the first, they used to say E. Amaret and F. Barnes, so they thought it was not very, so we managed to find all their Christian names, and that's what they read now. And you see, the names, as we found them, it got put onto the stone. And then when we discovered another name, so then what the idea was, all these have been sandblasted out, all the original plates that had the names inscribed on, and one or two of them didn't have their proper military medal or whatever it was. So when we were quite happy that we'd got the whole thing, then the constable decided to, as I say, this was sandblasted, so all these names that had been added on the stone in writing that had been discovered after these plates had been put on in 1919, I think it was when they did it. And so all the ones that you see on the plates are brand new, so as I say, the names disappeared from there.
And was his one of the ones already on a plate?
Well, his was already there. Yeah. His was there, yes. His was there.
Although Vimy Cottage is instantly recognisable for Mary, some of it has changed. Bits have been added onto the house, and also some other buildings have sprung up onto the land that they once used. But essentially, growing up here in Six Roads in the 1950s was much the same as it was, perhaps, for Ernest and his brothers when they grew up here at the turn of the century.
That was Chris Rayner there telling us the story of Ernest Amaret.